Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
Well, today is one of the more confusing liturgical days of the year. First, we start with joyful shouts of Hosanna with our palms or palm-like items. And then within moments, we now change our focus to Jesus's suffering and death. This year, we take this already complicated day and we try to experience it in our homes. And while we might be envious of the crowd gathered together without any social distancing in today's palm reading, it's important to remember that that palm procession and the gathered crowd there, they were a political and religious statement. You see, in that moment, it signified that Jesus was the returning king when there already was a king, and that Jesus was the Messiah, whom wasn't really accepted by the religious leaders at the time. And you see, with all of that, the Roman rulers and the religious leaders, they didn't really find that palatable. Now, on top of all of that, those who put their cloaks down and branches on the ground were part of an insurgency against Rome. A coup to overthrow the status quo of the temple. And Jesus's donkey ride was an act of defiance and not just a way to get from point A to point B with a free donkey and a colt. You see, those gathered together were defying a world that is built on the exploitation of the poor, a world that is sustained by violence and fear, a world where honor was derived from domination. You see, the palm narrative at the beginning of today's service, that is setting the scene for what and why the things that are to come happened. And so in just a few moments, we will continue reading the Passion narrative from Matthew. And during that reading, I invite you to either use the electronic bulletin that we have provided to read along with the script, or just simply sit back, take in the words and the images, incorporate them into your body. But as we read, keep in mind a few important things. First, one of the key things about today is that the Jesus in the Synoptic Gospels, which is just a fancy way for saying Matthew, Mark, and Luke, those three Gospels, they're different from John's Gospel reading. You see, when we gather later this week on Good Friday to hear the Passion reading according to John, we're going to get an entirely different view of Jesus and what he's going through. You see, there in John's gospel, we're going to see a confident Jesus who, like a heroic first responder, he ran towards his duty. But this morning, that's not the Jesus we find. The Jesus in Matthew's gospel, and frankly in all of the synoptic gospels, they are showing a Jesus who is sorrowful, a Jesus who is deeply troubled, a Jesus who was in agony. Jesus in these gospels is not looking forward to what is ahead. You see, the Jesus of today's gospel is oh so very human. Jesus has worries and anxieties. He has pain and hurt. He recognizes betrayal and abandonment. And so as we experience this, notice the ways that Jesus acts a lot like you and me. Come to notice the ways that our God is a lot like us. And while we're noticing that, I'd also encourage you to notice some unique things found only in Matthew's story and not in the others, not in the other synoptics, and definitely not in John. You see, here we will hear of Pilate and Pilate's wife's dream. And for those of you who remember Joseph's story back in the Hebrew scriptures, you know, Joseph in the amazing Technicolor dream coat Joseph, well, that Joseph will kind of think and hear and will say, huh, Pilate's wife sounds a lot very similar to what was happening back there with Pharaoh's wife. And if we were in our gathering worship space, I would point to that stained glass window, that window of Moses, to remind you how important Matthew thinks it is to connect Jesus back with the Hebrew scriptures. Over and over and over again, Matthew will constantly and consistently remind us that Jesus' story is connected back to the work of God in the Hebrew scriptures. And so while it seemed like an odd side note about Pilate's wife's dream, be reminded that our God was not just present in one moment, but be reminded that God has been with us from the very beginning and will always be with us, even when our future looks bleak and uncertain. We are reminded by Matthew's gospel that God's past actions are the very best predictor of God's future actions. And that is a key thing that Matthew wants to emphasize. And finally, before we jump into the story, we'll discover a few more uniquely Matthean elements, like an earthquake at Jesus's death, guards at Jesus's tomb, Pilate trying to wash away his guilty conscience, and Judas's hopelessness that led to his suicide. And then you add in all the other things that we see overlapping in the other gospels, and we'll see that there's a whole lot going on in this story. But it is a story where we find that reality changes so quickly, and where conflicting voices ultimately lead to confusion. It's a story where economic gain will literally sacrifice a human being. A story about the extremes that a religion might go to preserve its relevance in a changing environment. It is a story of denial and shifting blame, a story of hopelessness in disorderly systems and uncertain outcomes. It is a story that shows the powerful only thinking about themselves at the cost to all others. It is a story that shows how quickly fake news can spread and lead to massive death. It is a story where people will kill another to preserve their own self-interest. You see, it's true. This story happened over 2,000 years ago, but you know what? It is also a story that looks a lot like our collective story, a story that we read about every single day. And so, as we step into this all too familiar story, don't let the reality consume you. Rather, know that we are in something so large, so vast, so much a part of what is being human. And then I invite you to journey with me. Journey with me through Maundy Thursday, through Good Friday and onto the Easter Vigil. Keep walking with me in this pain and uncertainty. And then remember that God has always been revealed in a world that is remarkably similar to our own. So friends, come journey with me into this story. This story that is our story.
The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
One of the 12 disciples, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said,
"What will you give me if I betray Jesus to you?"
They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that moment he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying,
"Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?"
"Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'"
So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12, and while they were eating, Jesus said,
"Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me."
And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him,
"Surely not I, Lord.
Surely not I, Lord. Surely not I, Lord."
Jesus answered,
"The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born."
Judas, who betrayed him, said,
"Surely not I, Rabbi."
"You have said so."
While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said,
"Take, eat, this is my body."
Then he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying,
"Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them,
"You will all become deserters because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee."
Peter said to Jesus,
"Though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you."
"Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times.
"Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you."
And so said all the disciples. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I go over there and pray."
He took with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them,
"I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me."
And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed,
"My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want."
Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter,
"So could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Again he went away for the second time and prayed,
"My Father, if this cannot pass until I drink it, your will be done."
Again, Jesus came and found the disciples sleeping, for their eyes were heavy, So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived with him with a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying,
"The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him."
At once he came up to Jesus and said,
"Greetings, Rabbi,"
and kissed him. Jesus said to him,
"Friend, do what you are here to do."
Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly, one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it, and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off of his ear. Then Jesus said to him,
"Put your sword back into its place, for all who will take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen in this way?"
At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds,
"Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But all this has taken place so that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled."
Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, in whose house the scribes and the elders had gathered. But Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards in order to see how this would end. Now, the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death, but they found none. Though many false witnesses came forward, at last two came forward.
"This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'"
The high priest stood up and said,
"Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?"
But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him,
"I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God."
Jesus said to him,
"You have said so. But I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven."
Then the high priest tore his clothes and said,
"He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You now have heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?"
They answered,
"He deserves death."
Then they spat in his face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying,
"Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who is it that struck you?"
Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came to him and said,
"You were with Jesus the Galilean."
But he denied it before all of them, saying,
"I do not know what you are talking about."
When he went out to the porch, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders,
"This man was with Jesus of Nazareth."
Again, he denied it with an oath,
"I do not know the man."
After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter,
"Certainly, you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you."
Then he began to curse, and he swore an oath,
"I do not know the man."
At that moment, the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said.
Before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times.
And he went out and wept bitterly. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus in order to bring about his death, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, Jesus' betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. He said,
I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.
But they said,
what is that to us? See to it yourself.
Throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed. And he went and hanged himself. But the chief priest, taking the pieces of silver, said,
it is not lawful to put them into the treasury since they are blood money.
After conferring together, they used them to buy the potter's field as a place to bury foreigners. For this reason, that field has been called the Field of Blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one on whom a price had been set, on whom some of the people of Israel had set a price, and they gave them for the potter's field. As the Lord commanded me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him,
are you the king of the Judeans?
You say so.
But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him,
do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?
But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to the crowd,
whom do you want me to release for you? Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?
For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him saying, have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him. Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them,
which of the two do you want me to release for you?
And they said,
Barabbas.
Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?
Let him be crucified.
Why? What evil has he done?
But they shouted all the more,
let him be crucified.
So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying,
I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves.
His blood be on us and on our children.
So he released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying,
hail, King of the Judeans!
They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Judeans." Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying,
"You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross."
In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying,
"He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he wants to. For he said, 'I am God's son.'"
The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried with a loud voice,
"Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?"
That is,
my God, why have you forsaken me?"
When some of the bystanders heard it, they said,
"This man is calling for Elijah."
At once, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the other said,
"Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him."
Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said,
"Truly, this man was God's son."
Many women were also there, looking on from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and provided for him. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. He then rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said,
"Sir, we remember what that impostor said while he was still alive. 'After 3 days I will rise again.' Therefore, command the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may go and steal him away and tell people, 'He has been raised from the dead,' and the last deception would be worse than the first."
"You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can."
So they went with the guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone.